It's time for Sunday Mass with Christian Arcan on WEEI.
What are you learning about yourself as a leader in losses, and especially a loss like this?
These are the moments that, you know, can make you or break you. We got to reassemble. We got to look at it. We got to learn from it. And then we got to embrace it and attack it. It's going to be hard to do what we're trying to do. And we didn't expect anything to be easy. But there's no reason to lose our head. You know, tip your cap to Dallas. They came out and they played well. And we just got to be better on the next one.
It's Jaylen Brown after the game. That abomination of a game. Sunday Mass. Reverend Arcan, nice to have you with us here today. Hour two. Before we hand things off to, who's coming up after me today, Nico? John Lyons?
Fitzy and Hart, and Lyons at four.
Very good. So Fitzy and Hart at one, John Lyons at four, and he'll take you right into Red Sox baseball, I believe, tonight, as the MassMutual pregame show will get going right around 6:10, and then it's the rubber match between the Red Sox and the Yankees at Fenway Park tonight. Pretty good series so far, back and forth. The rubber match will have Cutter Crawford going up against Marcus Stroman. Stroman's having a good year. He's 6-2 with an ERA under 3. Crawford doesn't have the record, but he's had some very, very strong starts. His last one, I want to say, was very good, although I may be a start behind with him. Let me double check on that. Yeah, I'm thinking of, I guess I'm thinking of a couple starts ago. But, yeah, Crawford's been better lately, and I think that you have, with this matchup here, a chance to win two straight series over the two best teams in baseball. It's got to be good for this team's confidence. What I'd like to see now is them stop splitting with teams like Detroit and Chicago. But I guess one thing at a time. Anyways, what you just heard there was Jaylen Brown. And I like that quote, except for something he said in the very, very beginning. Can you just run it back from the beginning, and I'll tell you when to stop it, Nico? But just listen to that. They were up 3-0 in the series. They go out and lay a terrible, terrible egg in game four. And listen to the way Jaylen Brown starts off this answer.
What are you learning about yourself as a leader in losses, and especially a loss like this?
These are the moments that, you know, can make you or break you.
Okay, stop it right there. That can make or break you? You're up 3-0 in the series, Jaylen. This better not be a moment that breaks you. If this is, so that's, I don't even like hearing that kind of, I don't know, maybe just as a cliche, and he was just sort of saying it, you know, this is a tough one, make or break type of thing. And it was asked about his leadership. It wasn't necessarily asked about the team. Is this going to make or break you as a leader? But even hearing that, it's like, well, you lost one game, you didn't play very well. Everybody sees that. Everybody knows that. I don't think anybody was thinking, oh, this is going to break them. And if you were thinking that, then you were thinking it deep in the back of your mind and you weren't saying it out loud, like, oh boy, that was really bad. This might break us. This is a thing that'll make or break you. That's why I don't like them getting blown out. That's the thing. If they lost a close game, no one's going to be like, oh, that'll make or break you. No. You lost one game. They pulled a win out of their backside and that's it. That's not what happened. They dominated you. They dominated you out there, and you haven't dominated them like that. No one's played in the history of the NBA. There's only been a couple of games that were dominated like that, period, in the finals. All right, in all the years. So it's like that was substantial. That was, to me, just as substantial as Jaylen Brown going for 38-8 in game three. And that was substantial. Jaylen Brown getting 8 assists in a game was substantial to me. He doesn't do that. He's usually around like 1 or 2, maybe 3 if it's a particularly generous evening. He did 8 assists and 8 rebounds, 38-8. That's a tremendous night for him in a huge situation to go up 3-0 in the series. And I saw that and I thought, you know, a lot of people are thinking that. That's why this conversation's happening. That's why this Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum conversation is presently happening. And that also made me think of something I saw in this Orlando Magic 30 for 30, what I was watching today, about how when Shaq got hurt in 95, Penny came out and had this great start to the season, and he became this big star, and Chris Rock was doing the little Penny commercials, and all of a sudden there was this conversation about, well, which team is it? Whose team is it? Is it Shaq's team? Is it Penny's team? Shaq left, obviously, the next year, and Penny got traded, I want to say, either a year or two after that. He got traded to Phoenix for Danny Manning or some crap like that. I think it was Danny Manning and Pat Garrity, and that was it. That was the end of Orlando. And I think that when you have that conversation about whose team is it, everybody knew it was Shaq's team. But Penny was also this budding superstar. I kind of feel like there's a similar dynamic here. Everybody knows it's Jason Tatum's team, but Jaylen Brown is starting to become this thing that Jason Tatum maybe isn't down the stretch of some of these games when it comes to reliability, when it comes to hitting big shots, when it comes to making big plays. It's not that Tatum's not the better player, but, you know, Shaq down the stretch, when you got close in a game, if Shaq had the ball, they'd hack him and he'd miss the free throws. which is ironic because Jaylen Brown's the guy who misses all the free throws. But you know what I mean? Like, down the stretch, who's more of a liability? Who do you want the ball in, taking care of the ball in those situations? Right now, for me, it's Jaylen Brown, more so than Jason Tatum. And not because Tatum can't shoot free throws, it's because he breaks a lot of those last-second shots. And that's it. I mean, that's, again, a good problem to have. It was a bad problem for the Magic to have, though, because it was a different CBA, obviously, and Shaq headed for the hills after that. Everybody on that team was 23. He had 23-year-old Penny, 23-year-old Shaq. I forget how old Nick Anderson was, but he was in his early 20s. Dennis Scott, Horace Grant was the only guy who was like pushing 30. And instead of them staying together, they split apart. The Celtics, on the other hand, have already locked up one half of this duo to a long-term deal. The other half is getting locked up, too. I don't think there's a chance in hell that Jason Tatum turns that down to go become a free agent and leave in free agency. There's no way that's happening. So you got a pretty good situation here. You're set up pretty good for the future. That is, of course, unless you make history and gag away the series in a way that no team ever has before. And I was thinking about that today. Out of the major sports in America, coming back from a 3-0 deficit has happened a couple of times in hockey. I think it's happened three times. Happened one time to the Bruins. It's happened one time ever in Major League Baseball. We all remember that, of course. And it's never happened in the NBA. It's ironic, isn't it, that in the other two sports, a Boston team is involved on both ends of it? There's the Red Sox team that came back. There's also the Bruins team that blew the 3-0 lead to the Flyers that year. What year was that? 03, I want to say, or no? It was
2010, because they won the cup, right, after.
Yeah, of course. 2003, what am I talking about? 2010, the year before they won the cup. Right, of course.
It was the first choke job for Tuukka Rask there.
Right. That's right. That was bad. Boston teams have been involved in the other two sports that have seven-game series in blowing a 3-0 lead. And the Celtics, if they win this championship, will have more championships than any team ever. You know who had the most championships of any team ever in Major League Baseball? 2004 and still now today? The New York Yankees. The Celtics are kind of the Yankees of the NBA, aren't they? They won a lot of championships like back in the day. They haven't been as good lately, but they sort of rest on their history and all of that. Like, the Celtics do have a little bit of that going on. Maybe not to the extent that the Yankees do. The Yankees are ridiculous. But the Celtics are kind of ridiculous, too. How many numbers are you going to retire? You know, like, the Celtics, Don Nelson's up there. Like, come on. You know, you got a lot of similarities with the Yankees, and the Yankees were the team. And they were also a team that had won the World Series the year prior in 2003, and it looked like they were about to just steamroll past the Red Sox. They beat them 19-8 in Game 3, and the Red Sox came back. I don't think that's going to happen to these Celtics, because despite the fact that I just detailed all these times that it's happened, it is exceedingly rare. It's very rare. It's happened three times in the NHL ever. It's happened one time in Major League Baseball ever, and it's never happened in the NBA. So that's five times it's ever happened. I think four. In all the years and all the seasons of all the sports combined, it's happened four times. That's very, very rare. But eventually someone's got to do it, right? Like, eventually it's going to happen. Like, Nico, do you think in your lifetime you're going to see a team come back from 03 in the NBA? Like, I think I probably will. Like,
probably. It just seems, has to.
Especially now with all this parity going on, right? Like, wouldn't you think it's more likely to happen now that there's a new champion every year? And, you know, you might just see a team get up big and not know how to close the series out because they've never been in the finals. I mean, that sort of thing is very realistic. And I don't think that's going to happen here with the Celtics, because the Celtics have been to the finals already. They've been deep in the playoffs before. They have that kind of experience. And if they win this year, then that experience, I think, is going to go a long way in the future. I agree with Joe Sway. I think this team has dynasty potential. Absolutely. You have all the financial stuff basically taken care of. Brown and Tatum, locked up. Porzingis, locked up. Holiday, locked up. Derek White, I don't know what they're going to do there, but probably locked up. I don't care if they cross into that next apron. I don't care about the apron. I don't care about the mid-level exception. I don't care about all the penalties and the taxes and everything else. Wick Grosbeck doesn't either. He's come out and he has said, we are investing in this team. We'll pay what it takes, and I'll get paid back in championships. And, oh, man, when I heard that, I had to call my doctor. I heard that. That was the best news I'd ever heard. I just wonder now if there's any chance that Wick Grosbeck can shame these other owners into behaving like he does. Because, man, that'd be nice. It'd be nice to at least see him try. It really seems right now like the Celtics are the only team that's trying. And that's a bummer. If they lose on Monday, will you be nervous? Will you be nervous if they lose on Monday? I will be. I also wonder, is this one last grasp of air for the hate, you know, like all the Celtics haters, and there's a lot of them out there, get to come back and say, see, you know, they're not, this isn't it. Is it their last chance to do their little victory lap, or did Dallas figure something out? That's another question that I think is going to hang over these next 24 hours before we get to Monday. 617-779-7937 is the phone number if you want to chime in here and talk Celtics. We're going to talk with Justin Turpin. He'll be joining me at 12:30. He's been doing a lot of great work right here for WEEI.com. He was in Dallas. I believe they're back heading to practice now. They're practicing this afternoon. We may get an update on Kristaps Porzingis and what he's doing and how he looks. I kind of thought he was going to play. It seemed like he was on the bench as a decoy, but early on in the game when it was still kind of close, when they were only down like 12, I thought, all right, this could be a decent time to put in Porzingis if you were ever going to do it. And he stayed on the bench and the blowout continued and they never got to see him. So maybe that's not happening. Maybe it's unrealistic to think he's going to play at all the rest of the series. But either way, we may get an update on that later on this afternoon as everybody gets to practice and checks out who's on the floor, who's moving, and who's doing what. Anyway, we'll talk about that with Turpin at 12:30. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break, but first, here's what's trending.
Sunday Mass continues right now with Christian Arcand on WEEI.
Steve Buckley from The Athletic. You've been asked a couple of times about your team's effort, and you keep going back to how well Dallas played. So how was your team's effort?
It wasn't as good as Dallas's was. I thought theirs was a lot better.
He's right about that. Joe Mazzulla there with the succinct answer. Effort wasn't there. There was no effort. It was a brutal, brutal game. And I wonder, I've given Mazzulla a lot of credit for the defensive game plan, for having the Celtics ready to go out and play, for the intensity. And I think that if you're going to rip Mazzulla, then you got to give them credit when they get out and win, you know, rattle off 10, 11 straight playoff games and look that good against the team at full strength, by the way, in the Dallas Mavericks, and are able to sort of withstand Luka in the first two games, to withstand that 20-0 run in game three. Play great defense, I thought, against this team the entire time up until last night. Not last night, two nights ago, you know what I mean. But I also think that when they go out there and look like that, yeah, you got to give the coach a little bit of grief for it. Is it the coach's fault that Tatum had 15 points and Jalen had 10 points and all that? I'm not going to put it all on him because they have to go out there and play and shoot. But what you saw and what I think you need to keep in mind here is that Mazzulla is going to get credit when they're winning. He's got to get credit when they get absolutely steamrolled like that. And that's where it stands for me. I wonder what a championship will do for Joe Mazzulla. It's going to keep him in Boston for a long time, obviously, so long as he is the guy that brought a championship here. That'll keep him around at least for another 3 or 4 years, and if they come up short, the only thing, like, that's sort of what happens. If you're a coach who wins a championship with a stacked roster like this, then it's great because you're a championship winning coach. But the other side of that is, if you don't repeat, if you don't become a dynasty, if you don't fulfill this sort of, I don't know what the word is, your destiny, I guess, of being this great all-time team and repeating and doing all that stuff, you know who they're going to look at and say, well, why isn't this happening? Why aren't we achieving this potential? What happened here? We have all the players. Obviously, the players are still here. We have all these guys locked up long term. And I think that no matter what happens in this series, Celtics are going to win. But no matter what happens going forward with, like, Al Horford, or is he going to retire? Is Porzingis going to be healthy? Are you going to be able to, you know, count on Drew Holiday as he gets older? Is Derek White going to keep playing at this high level? Is your bench good enough? You know, questions like that. No matter what happens, I trust Brad Stevens. I trust Brad Stevens almost completely. I don't think there's been one move that he's made that I'd look at and say, you know what, he really botched that one. Ooh, he really should have done this instead. Ooh, that was really, he really got in over his skis. I thought he would. I thought when Brad Stevens took this job, when he was removed as head coach and sort of thrust into the front office, and Danny Ainge got pushed out, I thought, this is not going to work. You can't have this guy. This guy's a head coach. This guy's some little G. Willikers farm boy from Indiana who's a pretty good coach, but not relating and connecting with the players like he should be. And it seems like they've tuned him out. And now he's what? He's going to be in charge of the whole roster? This guy who's never done this before, who has no sort of relationships with the other front offices and is just, you know, an ex-coach getting moved around because they don't want to lose him completely? Like, it just seemed like a recipe for disaster. And instead, Brad Stevens has killed it. Oh, has he killed it? He has been amazing. Every single move he's made, all the way back to the Kemba Walker-Al Horford trade, the Derek White trade, the Jrue Holiday trade, the Kristaps Porzingis trade. He's not missed. Brad Stevens hasn't missed, as the kids say. This guy don't miss. Like, he does. He really doesn't. And it's been that's the reason why I consider this team to be, in my opinion anyway, all the makings, all the tools to become a dynasty. All of them. And even if some things happen, if the unexpected comes up and Horford retires or Porzingis, something happens with him, or anything happens, really, I trust that as long as Brown and Tatum are here, Brad Stevens is going to be able to put a roster around them. I trust him. And I think that he's earned that trust in a very short amount of time, in like 3 years. He's earned that trust for me almost 100% completely. 617-779-7937, there's your phone number. Let's go to the phones. Will is in Marlboro. Go ahead, Will.
Hey, good morning. My question, and I need you to talk me off a ledge here.
Okay.
I've come around on Missoula, and I do think in terms of Brad, let's give Brad credit for the coaching staff, too. I think sure. they brought some veterans in. They brought some probably head coach-ready guys, and that's helped Missoula considerably. I've got one question about Missoula that leads me to I love the Celtics. I do not like the Jays. And I will never like Jason Tatum, one, until he can win in the clutch, and two, if he continues to whine after every play, I won't even watch the Celtics anymore. It ruins the experience.
I understand, but Will, if they win a championship on Monday, you're going to like them a little bit, right? I mean, like, come on. If you're a Celtics fan, you got to like the team that wins a championship. That's the one thing. That's the one line I'll draw in the sand here about telling people how to be fans. If they win the championship, you can't say I don't like them anymore.
I will say that I love the team, and okay. I do. I love the parts. I think that Jaylen Brown's the most overrated and overpaid player in the NBA and will be forever. I don't see Jaylen maturing. And, you know, they talk about he's not marketable. He's not. He's not a pleasant person. He won the Eastern Conference MVP, and his reaction was, I don't win anything. And he didn't say the word anything. Like, right. Yeah, that's going to get you that's going to get you some Kool-Aid commercials. Keep doing that stuff.
All right. Well, Will, Draymond Green gets commercials. He's not exactly a pleasant fellow himself, you know? Like, you don't have to be the nicest guy in the world to be marketable and put in commercials. You know what you do have to do generally? Win stuff. You got to win stuff. You got to dunk on people. Jaylen Brown dunked on the entire Dallas Mavericks roster the other day, like earlier in the week. What was that, game three? Whenever it was, when he had that crazy dunk. That's marketable. That sort of thing is marketable. But not until you go out and win a championship does it become nationally marketable. Jaylen Brown is someone who started a business here in Massachusetts. I don't know how that business is doing. How's Juice 7 Ooze, whatever it is? How's that doing? Do you know, Nico? Or you follow that stuff?
A bit. It's like a fashion thing, isn't it? Like, he
right.
releases like a lot of clothing. I mean, it
and
seems to have a lot of followers.
I am a total fashion. I'm the fashion plate of WEEI, but I'm not sure exactly what's going on with the Juice 7 Ooze thing there. Is it Juice or 7 Ooze? I think it's Juice, right?
I really don't know. I couldn't tell you.
It'd be stupid if they called it 7 Ooze. It's like not a very good name, I don't think. I want to read a couple of text messages here real quick. Texter in the 401, Joe in Rhode Island, says Celtics need to play and run like they did with the Pacers. Game over, championship, and banner. I agree. I think it's as simple as that. You just got to run. You got to be up and down the court. You got to play a transition game. And if you don't rebound, you can't do that. Celtics got slaughtered on the boards. And we're not able to turn that into any points down the other end. Their offense was stagnant in the half court. They were trying to go one-on-one. They were taking a-hole three-pointers. And they ended up getting smoked. So, yeah, I think that's a big, big part of it. Another texter says, Arcan, I'm jealous. Woodman's is great. Good for a couple times a season. Love the onion rings. Next time, try Essex Steve. A lot of people are saying that. Oh, yeah, there's, you know, it's not just all about Woodman's when you go up to Essex. You know, you got your Essex Seafood. You got JT. What's that other place called? Furnham's? I can't remember what that other place is. It's JT something. What's the name of that place? Essex JT. It is, I forget what it's called. Doesn't matter. I'm not going there. I'm going to Woodman's is the point. I'm going to Woodman's. And, you know, there's a lot of great restaurants in Essex for sure. So don't get that confused. I like the Boathouse. I like the Blue Marlin. What's that other place I like? CK Pearl and JT Farnham's. Farnham's is what it is. Another nice clam shack up there in Essex. But that's not where I'm going tonight. Tonight I'm heading to the one that started it all. And when I tell you there is going to be a Mount Everest of fried clams in front of me tonight, I'm not exaggerating at all. I'm fasting all day. It's going to be one of those type of things. It's like Thanksgiving, you know. I'm trying to create as much room as I possibly can, because this is going to be a meal to remember for me tonight, and I could not be happier. Honestly, I don't even know what I've been talking about this last hour and a half. I feel like this has all just been, you know, filler in between me and Woodman's. It's really what this program has been today. And a big happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. And whatever it is that you're doing today, whatever your Woodman's is today. For some people, it's going out playing golf, you know, getting out of the house, having a few beers with the boys, and playing some golf. I'm not doing that today. I thought about it, but I was way too late to that party. If you're going to do golf, then you got to really plan it in advance. And everybody already has tee times on Father's Day, so I figured there was no way I'd get to do that. So I figured, what do I really want to do? I got the whole day. What's in it for me? What's it going to be? Woodman's. I would warn the staff, get ready. It's going to be a feast in there. You might want to block off a whole section. You know, I don't want like civilians getting involved and seeing what I do to those clams and that lobster in there. It's not going to be good. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. And joining us right now here on the hotline, your friend and mine, WEEI and WEEI.com's Justin Turpin, who is headed right down to the garden right now as the Celtics getting ready for practice. Turpin getting ready to cover it, as he's been covering everything with this team all throughout the season and throughout the playoffs. Turp, welcome. How you doing?
You got me excited with those lobsters and clam talk. Hey. I might have to join you if you got an open table.
I mean, listen, if you think you can handle it, that's where we're going to be. We're going to
be
up in Essex.
You're blocking off sections. I mean, that sounds like it's going to be a show.
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying that for the other people, not for me. Like, I don't care if anyone's watching, but I feel like when I eat, some people, Terp, like food, you know, like foodies. Oh, I like the food. Some people like food. Some people like to eat. I like to eat. I'm one of those type of people.
I'm 100% with you.
Absolutely. So you were just in Dallas. There's a lot of good food down there. How was the food scene down in Dallas?
The food was absolutely incredible. So I actually did a piece on WEI.com.
Right.
Luke Cornett spent his middle school and high school years in the Dallas suburbs. And so I asked him for some recommendations. I just figured this guy's 7'2", 250. He has to eat well. So I asked him for some great recommendations, and he hooked it up. He did not miss. The food was absolutely incredible.
Very nice. Now that you're back from Dallas, has the team recovered from that embarrassing beatdown that they suffered in Game 4? Are they back to their normal selves, or has that one left a bit of a mark, Terp, would you say?
I don't think it left anything a bit of a mark. Honestly, sometimes you just get outplayed, and that's what happened. For the Celtics, it's really been so rare that it's happened. I look at this kind of similar to Game 2 against Cleveland, which was the only other game this postseason that they just didn't show up. So, yeah, it sucks that it was on that stage. But even at the podium after the game, they didn't really seem too fazed by it. Jason Tatum was walking the bus. He had a smile on his face when he was walking out with his trainer, Nick Sang. It just wasn't really bothering them. And I don't think it should. Like, if you let that kind of creep in, that's when things become a problem. And this team has done a really good job of not letting poor performances spiral out of control. They're 17-3 coming off a loss this year. With their only loss at home, they're 9-1 at home in those games. The only loss at home came in the third to last game against the Knicks, and the starters didn't play the fourth quarter. So these guys do a really good job of bouncing back, and I think that's what they're focused on. They're not dwelling on that loss.
Yeah, they should be not dwelling on that loss, and I would agree with you there. The only thing that gives me a little bit of pause, Terp, is that it wasn't just that game. The fourth quarter of Game 3 was alarming. You know, they blew that big lead. They were able to hold them off and still win that game. But it did seem like Dallas, I don't know, maybe figured something out or some defensively seemed like they had something working. Let me just put it that way. What they had been doing prior to that hadn't really been working, but it seemed like in the fourth quarter of Game 3 into Game 4, their defensive mindset, strategy, all of that seemed to be on a new level from where it was the first three games.
And I also think the Celtics aren't doing themselves any favor with that. So, yeah, Dallas has picked up their defensive notch, and they were really a much better defensive team after the trade deadline, after they got P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford. They didn't really show that in the first three games of the series, other than the fourth quarter of Game 3, like you said, in Game 4. But the Celtics aren't doing themselves any favors. Their spacing, which is a big key point of emphasis by Joe Mazzulla, was terrible in Game 4. It wasn't great in Game 3 in the fourth quarter as well. So they're just going to get back to playing their game. And I think for the Celtics, it really starts on the defensive end, because when you're getting together, when you're stringing together stops, it allows them to get out and play fast. And that's what they want to do. The Celtics like to play fast. And when you're not getting stops, you can't do that. So the game is just so connected where you need to start it on the defensive end. So the Celtics defense is really what's been hurting their offense, because it's slowing them down.
Yeah, it certainly is. Another stat that really jumped out to anybody that was watching the game or certainly looking at the box score afterwards was the rebounding differential. Made it impossible for the Celtics to do anything in transition. What was that about?
That's an effort thing. I mean, mostly an effort thing. Also, when you're missing, there's obviously more rebound opportunities for Dallas when you can't buy a shot. But they got out-hustled, they got outplayed, and that's going to happen. Like I said, it's been such a rarity for these guys. But you're not going to win games if you don't control those margins. And Joe Mazzulla talks about that all the time. So when you're playing a team that's desperate like Dallas, you can't afford to give them extra possessions. And you look at the offensive rebounding in itself, like Derek Lively almost out-rebounded them on the offensive glass by himself. So that can't happen, because you're playing a team that you're clearly better than, and they're desperate. And you can't give them extra hope, extra possessions, and let them crawl back. And that's what they did in Game 4.
Yeah, it certainly is. We're talking with Justin Turpin here, WEEI, WEEI.com. All right, so the Celtics don't seem to be particularly bothered. How about on the Dallas side? I don't know how much time you spent with them after the game or whatever, Turp, but do they appear to be a team that seems like they have the momentum maybe in the series right now?
Well, I was just sitting down courtside watching them warm up, and they just seem loose. But they've seemed loose the entire time, really, except for before going into Game 4. Like, Jason Kidd even said, like, oh, we're going to learn from this, almost like they were waving the white flag. But they came out ready. And, I mean, I think anyone in this situation, they're not going to give up. They're not going to roll over. You're in the NBA Finals. So they seem loose, but we'll see. When you're coming back home, they're going to be – you know, this place is going to be loud. Jason Tatum said he expected it to be the loudest it's been in his 7 years here. So – I don't know. We'll see about the momentum once they take the floor, but they seem loose right now. They seem relaxed, and really that's all you can do when you're in a hole like this. You can't look at it like you're looking at the series deficit. You have to look at it game by game. And for Dallas, all they're focused on now is Game 5.
All right, so I see your video you just posted about a half hour ago of the Mavericks at shoot-around. Have the Celtics started their shoot-around yet? And if so, what's the how's Porzingis looking?
They haven't started their shoot-around yet, so Dallas is about to do media, then the Celtics will do media, and okay. Then the first 30 minutes of their practice will be open to the public and open to the media.
Are you surprised he didn't get into Game 4 at all?
I'm not. And it's so weird with this injury, because, I mean, I don't know if you saw this. There was a study in 2006 that there was only 32 cases of this injury in the English literature. I don't even know what that means.
What?
Like, this English literature, I have no clue what that means. So it's something that can only happen to Kristaps Porzingis in the NBA Finals, it appears. But it's such a weird injury where nobody really knows what to think. So Joe Mazzulla said he was going to be available in specific situations, and obviously they didn't need him because they got wiped off the floor. And honestly, I'm not sure how much of a difference he would have made in Game 4. They just didn't have it. So we'll see.
Well, wait a minute. Before you move off that point, Turp, real quick, there were times in the first half where it was only a 10-point game, and I was thinking, all right, is this when they're going to bring Porzingis in? And they never did. But there was times where it wasn't quite out of hand yet, where I thought they could have put him in if they wanted to.
He looked a step slow, though, when he was warming up pregame. So he came out about 3 hours before the game in Dallas, before Game 4. And he did like a 30-minute workout. And this wasn't just like a light workout. He was really actually working. Like, this wasn't just light shooting. He was doing pick-and-roll stuff, defense stuff, pick-and-pop stuff, whatever it may be. And he looked a step slow. There was times where he kind of slowed down a little bit. So I just question how healthy he is. And to me, again, not a doctor. That's why we're talking here. But I wouldn't think this is just a pain tolerance thing, because if it was, I feel like he'd be out there. This seems like something that if he pushes it, there could be some more risk of injury down the line. That's just how I read it, because if this was strictly a pain tolerance thing, he'd be out there.
Yeah, I would think so, considering the stakes and, you know, his career and all that stuff. It just seems like, you know, there's definitely the potential for him to make an impact in a game and be able to be a champion for the first time. And he would be anyway, even if he doesn't play. Obviously, he's going to get a ring and be there for the banner ceremony and all. But considering his injury history, it would make a big difference, I think, for him professionally and everything else if he's out there when that happens.
Yeah, 100%. And he wants to be out there. I mean, they're not in this position without Kristaps Porzingis, obviously. And he's already done his job. So he shouldn't feel like he didn't contribute, because look at game one. Like, he single-handedly changed that game off the bench. He contributed to a championship-winning team, and he should be proud of that. But obviously, he wants to be out there. He knows he's not naive. Like, he's not stupid. He knows all the narrative surrounding him, and the guy can't stay healthy. He can't stay on the floor. And this is killing him not to be out there against his former team in the NBA Finals.
I'm sure it is. All right, a couple of questions about the crowd on Monday. We know it's going to be a loud crowd in Boston. How was the crowd in Dallas? You can't really tell on TV. How was it in person?
I thought it was great. I thought it was the best crowd yet this postseason. Cleveland was really good, but Dallas brought it, especially for a team in game three. They were really loud. Game four, excuse me, they were really loud. A team in a 3-0 hole, the crowd brought it, but maybe that's the stakes. Obviously, it's the NBA Finals. Like, of course they're going to bring it. These people, I would hope, they paid all this money to get in there. They're going to bring the noise and do their best to help the team. But, yeah, that was the best road crowd, in my opinion. They really – in the Dallas map, so it's funny. At the American Airlines Center, they have the rim mics, like, jacked up. So anytime there's a brick, like, you can hear it. Like, it's hysterical. Like, even on swishes, it's wicked loud. So there was a time, like, Jason Tatum would drive to the line, drive to the basket and try to, like, dunk, and you would hear him screaming on the rim mic. It was hysterical. I've never seen anything like it. I'm going to try to find some videos of it and tweet them out, because it is so funny. I was like, is this like this every game? Literally every time. It was like, you hear the swish. Like, when I tell you, like, when it was a brick, like, you heard it. Like, it was kind of like, I'd be like, this is demoralizing if I'm a player. Like, it's throughout the whole stadium, you just hear, like, a big clang. It reminded me of the Chad Ryland on Christmas Eve against the Broncos. Remember that? Remember that loud doink off the upright?
Oh, yeah.
That's all it reminded me of. Every single time that the ball hit the rim, it was like that. It was hysterical.
I mean, everybody wants to hear their swish, but yeah, the flip side of that is you hear the clank, and the clank can get in your head for sure. All right,
so
well, then let's get to it then, Terp. Does this series go to six?
I don't think so. I think the Celtics, like I said, they've done a really good job not letting bad outings spiral into anything more. They really nip it right in the butt right there, and I expect that coming up here in game five. I mean, they're going to bring it. I think they know that they could be better, and that's all they're focused on. So I don't think Dallas wants to come back here. I really don't. Kyrie Irving doesn't want to come back in this building. He has no luck here. And you know what they say about the role players? Look at game four. The Dallas role players really stepped up. We'll see if that's the same on the road, because role players on the road sometimes don't really have that impact. So I don't think this is going to game six. I think this is done on Monday night.
All right, we'll leave it right there. Justin Turpin, if this is the last time we talk before the season ends, it's been great having you on, and great job with all your coverage here. You've done an awesome job on this beat, and I've really enjoyed reading it, hearing it, and so forth.
Thank you so much.
All right, that is Justin Turpin from TD Garden, where you're going to see practice today and then the game tomorrow. By the way, we're going to be down there, Turp, tomorrow at the Big Night studio. You know what I'm talking about? We were there last week.
Oh,
we were there for
right
game
out,
two.
Literally right out front of the garden. That
right
place
there.
Is pretty sweet.
Yeah, that place is sweet. So if you're around, yeah, definitely come in. You can walk right up, and we'll have you come in and chop it up a little bit. That'd be nice.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I'll come stop by before.
All right, sounds good. All right, Turp, thanks so much.
All right, anytime. I'll see you tomorrow.
Cool. Justin Turpin there joining us here on Sunday Mass. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll wrap things up with your phone calls next.
From the Rubenstein Law Studios, 1-800-BOS-LEGAL. This is WEEI.
The NBA playoffs have tipped off, but it's not too late to get in on the action with FanDuel, because right now new customers get $300 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's right, $300, and you can use it on all sorts of different things like same game parlays, live bets, championship futures. You can do individual player props. You can go half by half. You can go quarter by quarter. You can basically do whatever you want. There's no better place to bet on all the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. Just go to FanDuel.com/Arcand. That's FanDuel.com/ARCAND and get started today. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA.
Must be 21 or over and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Hope is here. Gambling helpline, MA.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
I spent a couple of minutes online to help pay for college.
If you're an 18-year-old man, go to SSS.gov to register with the Selective Service System.
I registered because, hey, it's what you do.
Go to SSS.gov and register today.
Visit the 99 this Father's Day weekend for a great lineup of menu specials Dad'll love, like the Backyard Barbecue Combo, Fried Seafood Platter, or their famous Colossal Lobster Rolls. You gotta love the Nines.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Tom and Levi.
Tom is the smartest man I know. He's been a professor at two major universities, been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, he told me that he was having problems in his classes. I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. And he was telling them that he was doing it as a favor to them, but I think in reality, he just wanted to get out of there. I was really starting to worry because I saw something was wrong.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me, and my love for him was just immense.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Men, when addressing the problem of erectile dysfunction, you want the right treatment for your specific medical situation. Because every case is different, and finding the right treatment can mean the difference between just an okay experience and an amazing one. This is Dale for Northeast Men's Health, and at our practices, we offer the full range of ED treatment protocols and can even combine therapies to help make those intimate moments special, both for you and your partner. At Northeast Men's Health, we're the leader in treating ED in the area. Our medical providers specialize in men's sexual health and understand that no two cases are alike, which means you'll get the right treatment for you based on sound medical evaluation and appropriate applications of medical therapies. Plus, we offer treatments that are effective in well over 90% of cases, which means if you're like most men, you'll get your sex life back. So call us. Your initial visit is just $99 and includes blood work, a medical consult, and if medically advised, a test dose. And if that test dose doesn't work in the office, your visit is free. Call 617-793-5000. That's 617-793-5000. Or go to northeastmenshealth.com. We have five offices in the Northeast to serve you.
If you're like me, 60 and retired, making ends meet, especially here at the supermarket and drugstore, is tough. I'm so blessed to have found BenefitsCheckup.org. It's a free and confidential website from the National Council on Aging that connected me to $1,200 a year in programs that help pay for food, medicine, utilities, and more. Maybe it can help you. BenefitsCheckup.org.
Hi, we're Comparian Insurance Agency. Right now you're thinking, Comparian, never heard of them. We know. We also know that you have no idea that Comparian Insurance Agents are local and provide expert advice. So to help it stick, we're going to say local agent four times in the next 15 seconds. Ready? Go. Our local agents know you and your community. Our local agents offer insurance from top carriers. Our local agents have minty fresh breath.
Find us at ComparianInsurance.com. Comparian Insurance Agency. Local agents. Expert advice.
And there's number four.
Free is key during Craftsman Days at Lowe's. Right now, get one free Select V20 tool when you buy a Select Battery 2-pack. Plus, get your choice of a V20 drill or impact driver kit for $69. Don't miss your chance to save on the high-quality, high-performance tools you need during Craftsman Days. Because Lowe's knows tools. Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid through 6/19 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This is Sunday Mass on WEEI with Christian Arcand.
Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for all you've done for me. And thank you for the example and model that you've been for all of us on a daily basis for 20 years. You're unbelievable. Congratulations.
I am Tom Brady, and I am a Patriot.
Thank
couple of sounds there from Tom Brady night at Gillette Stadium. A beautiful night. Nice night to be outside. Some thoughts on that I want to get to real quick. I thought the Bill stuff was very nice. I thought the family stuff was good. Went on a little long, that video with them all at the kitchen table or whatever. But I thought it was, you know, it was a nice video. Bill Burr was funny, but he couldn't really, you know, I could tell there was other stuff he wanted to say. And if you could do like an unedited, uncensored version of him talking about the Patriots back in the 80s and 90s, and then he was talking about the 70s when they got banned from Monday Night Football and all that stuff. If you could do that, and, you know, drinking in a Walpole parking lot and climbing through the woods, I'd like to hear that uncensored. I thought it was fun. It was good material. It just was all very, and it was the setting that it was in. I'm a fan of Bill Burr, so I thought it was good otherwise. The only thing I would have liked is maybe a little more Jay-Z. How much do you think he got to play that one song, Nico?
It's definitely an absurd amount. Like, at least, I would say, a few million, if not 10.
I was thinking, like, $5 million. $5 million to do one song. And it was funny, because the song, I don't know if it was him in the helicopter or not, but he did the song. He said, you know, he sort of waved to everybody. Brady waved to him. And then, like, a minute later, you see this helicopter take off, and it's like, there goes Jay-Z. I would have liked to have heard at least two more songs. You know what I was hoping he would do is, like, you know how in at award shows, they'll have someone come out and do like a medley of their songs? Like when it's a rapper, usually they'll come out and do like a quick medley, one verse from each song, something like that. I thought we'd get that, and then we get public service announcement as the closer at the end to introduce Brady. But no, it was just public service announcement and nothing else, which I would have liked a little more Jay-Z, personally. I thought Fitzy was very good. Fitzy, who, by the way, you're going to hear in just a few moments, coming on after me. And the only thing I would have done a little bit differently is they had a setup with Brady and Tirico on these very plush couches and chairs, and then they bring out his old teammates from over the years. It kind of looked like the set of, and I don't watch these myself, but my wife is very into these Bravo shows, the Housewives, the Real Housewives, and at the end of each season, this guy, Andy Cohen, who's like the grand poobah of everything that has to do with Bravo, he comes out and they do this reunion show. And it's very similar. They have big plush couches and everybody sort of sits there and they talk about the season that just happened and they all talk and laugh and it's all that. And that's kind of what you saw. It was like a Real Housewives reunion show, complete with the same furniture they use on Bravo. And I thought that was not the worst format in the world. It's just, you know, here's the defense and now here's the offense and now here's the quarterbacks and now here's Bill and now here's this and now here's that. And it's sort of like, I feel like things kind of got lost in the translation. You forgot about things that just happened and it kind of would go on to the next one and you just sort of forget about what you just heard. And I don't know. I understand wanting to get everybody out there and all the different voices and everything. And it was good to see Bledsoe and those guys. But it did just kind of go on, you know, went on and on and on and on and on. And I was at Larry Bird night, by the way. I was there. I was there with my dad, which was one of the coolest things my dad and I have ever done. We went to Larry Bird night together. And, you know, I was a kid, obviously. But I know it wasn't like that. I went back and actually watched it's on YouTube. You can watch Larry Bird night. There was a video. They had the teammates come up and talk. They had the coaches come up and talk. I think Heinsohn said some things. And then Magic came out. And then that was it. The thing was over. And it seemed like they went through it a little bit quicker than they went through Tom Brady night. But my favorite part of Tom Brady night was during his speech when he said everybody should play football because football's hard and life's hard. And I thought that was a good message. He's been working on his motivational speaking, so I thought that was good too. All right, 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Let's go to Walker in New Hampshire who wants to say something about the Celtics. Walker.
That'd be all right.
Walker. Walker.
They lost really on purpose.
Hi, Walker.
Yeah,
all right, we're going to put Walker on hold here because Walker is not ready. He said he wanted to talk about the Game 4 loss. Walker in New Hampshire. I feel like I interrupted him. He was doing something there. The Game 4 loss. What else is there really to say about the Game 4 loss? Who cares? Let's read some text messages. Tell that guy Will if he doesn't like the Celtics or the Jays, he can become a Knicks fan. Yeah, that guy Will was a real hater. I agree. Arcan, the Causeway on 133 in West Gloucester is very good. I have not tried that place before. I know a lot of the restaurants, the seafood shacks for sure up in that region, but I don't know the Causeway. Texter in the 617, Arcan locally, if you don't want to go to the shore, you get very good clams at Celebrity Pizza in Watertown, ice cream and soft serve too. I used to live in Watertown. I lived in Watertown for several years, including during 2013 with the marathon and all of that, and they caught the guy. they caught him very close to my apartment, like spitting distance almost from my apartment. I drove past that house every single day, so I know Watertown very well, and I know Celebrity Pizza very well, and I love that place. Very, very good. Good recommendation, but I'm going by the water today. And that is all the time that I have. I want you all to stay tuned because Fitzy and Hart are coming up next, and then John Lyons, and then Red Sox baseball as the Sox look to take this series here against the Yankees. And that is all the time that I have. Mass has ended. Go in peace. Enjoy the rest of your Father's Day. I'll be back on Monday with Jones and Mego. We will talk to you then live from Big Night Live at the Garden as we get ready to preview Game 5, Celtics and the Mavericks. Again, enjoy the rest of your Father's Day, all you fathers out there. And to my father, I'll see you in a little bit. Goodbye, everybody. Stay tuned for Fitzy and Hart. What's next?
From the Rubenstein Law Studios, 1-800-BOS-LEGAL. This is WEEI.
The NBA playoffs have tipped off, but it's not too late to get in on the action with FanDuel, because right now new customers get $300 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's right, $300, and you can use it on all sorts of different things like same game parlays, live bets, championship futures. You can do individual player props. You can go half by half. You can go quarter by quarter. You can basically do whatever you want. There's no better place to bet on all the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. Just go to FanDuel.com/Arcand. That's FanDuel.com/ARCAND and get started today. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Hope is here. Gambling helpline, MA.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
I spent a couple of minutes online to help pay for college.
If you're an 18-year-old man, go to SSS.gov to register with the Selective Service System.
I registered because, hey, it's what you do.
Go to SSS.gov and register today.
Visit the 99 this Father's Day weekend for a great lineup of menu specials dad'll love, like the Backyard Barbecue Combo, Fried Seafood Platter, or their famous Colossal Lobster Rolls. You gotta love the Nines.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Tom and Levi.
Tom is the smartest man I know. He's been a professor at two major universities, been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, he told me that he was having problems in his classes. I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. And he was telling them that he was doing it as a favor to them, but I think in reality, he just wanted to get out of there. I was really starting to worry because I saw something was wrong.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me, and my love for him was just immense.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Men, when addressing the problem of erectile dysfunction, you want the right treatment for your specific medical situation. Because every case is different, and finding the right treatment can mean the difference between just an okay experience and an amazing one. This is Dale for Northeast Men's Health, and at our practices, we offer the full range of ED treatment protocols and can even combine therapies to help make those intimate moments special, both for you and your partner. At Northeast Men's Health, we're the leader in treating ED in the area. Our medical providers specialize in men's sexual health and understand that no two cases are alike, which means you'll get the right treatment for you based on sound medical evaluation and appropriate applications of medical therapies. Plus, we offer treatments that are effective in well over 90% of cases, which means if you're like most men, you'll get your sex life back. So call us. Your initial visit is just $99 and includes blood work, a medical consult, and if medically advised, a test dose. And if that test dose doesn't work in the office, your visit is free. Call 617-793-5000. That's 617-793-5000. Or go to northeastmenshealth.com. We have 5 offices in the Northeast to serve you.
If you're like me, 60 and retired, making ends meet, especially here at the supermarket and drugstore, is tough. I'm so blessed to have found BenefitsCheckup.org. It's a free and confidential website from the National Council on Aging that connected me to $1,200 a year in programs that help pay for food, medicine, utilities, and more. Maybe it can help you. BenefitsCheckup.org.
Hi, we're Comparian Insurance Agency. Right now you're thinking, Comparian, never heard of them. We know. We also know that you have no idea that comparing insurance agents are local and provide expert advice. So to help it stick, we're going to say local agent four times in the next 15 seconds. Ready? Go. Our local agents know you and your community. Our local agents offer insurance from top carriers. Our local agents have minty fresh breath.
Find us at comparinginsurance.com. Comparin Insurance Agency. Local agents. Expert advice.
And there's number four.
Free is key during Craftsman Days at Lowe's. Right now, get one free select V20 tool when you buy a select battery 2-pack. Plus, get your choice of a V20 drill or impact driver kit for $69. Don't miss your chance to save on the high-quality, high-performance tools you need during Craftsman Days. Because Lowe's knows tools. Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid through 6/19 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This is Sunday Mass on WEEI with Christian Arcand.
Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for all you've done for me. And thank you for the example and model that you've been for all of us on a daily basis for 20 years. You're unbelievable. Congratulations.
I am Tom Brady, and I am a Patriot.
Thank you. A couple of sounds there from Tom Brady night at Gillette Stadium. A beautiful night. Nice night to be outside. Some thoughts on that I want to get to real quick. I thought the Bill stuff was very nice. Thought the family stuff was good. Went on a little long, that video with them all at the kitchen table or whatever. But I thought it was, you know, it was a nice video. Bill Burr was funny, but he couldn't really, you know, I could tell there was other stuff he wanted to say. And if you could do like an unedited, uncensored version of him talking about the Patriots back in the 80s and 90s, and then he was talking about the 70s when they got banned from Monday Night Football and all that stuff. If you could do that, and, you know, drinking in a Walpole parking lot and climbing through the woods, I'd like to hear that uncensored. I thought it was fun. It was good material. It just was all very, and it was the setting that it was in. I'm a fan of Bill Burr's, so I thought it was good otherwise. The only thing I would have liked is maybe a little more Jay-Z. How much do you think he got to play that one song, Nico?
It's definitely an absurd amount. Like, at least, I would say, a few million, if not 10.
I was thinking, like, $5 million. $5 million to do one song. And it was funny, because the song, I don't know if it was him in the helicopter or not, but he did the song. He said, you know, he sort of waved to everybody. Brady waved to him. And then, like, a minute later, you see this helicopter take off, and it's like, there goes Jay-Z. I would have liked to have heard at least two more songs. You know what I was hoping he would do is, like, you know how in at award shows, they'll have someone come out and do like a medley of their songs? Like when it's a rapper, usually they'll come out and do like a quick medley, one verse from each song, something like that. I thought we'd get that, and then we get public service announcement as the closer at the end to introduce Brady. But no, it was just public service announcement and nothing else, which I would have liked a little more Jay-Z, personally. I thought Fitzy was very good. Fitzy, who, by the way, you're going to hear in just a few moments, coming on after me. And the only thing I would have done a little bit differently is they had a setup with Brady and Tirico on these very plush couches and chairs, and then they bring out his teammates, his old teammates from over the years. It kind of looked like the set of, and I don't watch these myself, but my wife is very into these Bravo shows, the Housewives, the Real Housewives, and at the end of each season, this guy, Andy Cohen, who's like the grand poobah of everything that has to do with Bravo, he comes out and they do this reunion show. And it's very similar. They have big plush couches and everybody sort of sits there and they talk about the season that just happened and they all talk and laugh and it's all that. And that's kind of what you saw. It was like a Real Housewives reunion show, complete with the same furniture they use on Bravo. And I thought that was not the worst format in the world. It's just, you know, here's the defense and now here's the offense and now here's the quarterbacks and now here's Bill and now here's this and now here's that. And it's sort of like, I feel like things kind of got lost in the translation. You forgot about things that just happened. And it kind of would go on to the next one, and you just sort of forget about what you just heard. And I don't know. I understand wanting to get everybody out there and all the different voices and everything. And it was good to see Bledsoe and those guys. But it did just kind of go on, you know, went on and on and on and on and on. And I was at Larry Bird Night, by the way. I was there. I was there with my dad, which was one of the coolest things my dad and I have ever done. We went to Larry Bird Night together. And, you know, I was a kid, obviously. But I know it wasn't like that. I went back and actually watched the – it's on YouTube. You can watch Larry Bird Night. There was a video. They had the teammates come up and talk. They had the coaches come up and talk. I think Heinsohn said some things. And then Magic came out, and then that was it. The thing was over. And it seemed like they went through it a little bit quicker than they went through Tom Brady Night. But my favorite part of Tom Brady Night was during his speech when he said everybody should play football because football's hard and life's hard. And I thought that was a good message. He's been working on his motivational speaking, so I thought that was good too. All right, 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Let's go to Walker in New Hampshire who wants to say something about the Celtics. Walker.
That'd be all right.
Walker. Walker.
Stay long, really on purpose.
Hi, Walker.
Yeah,
all right, we're going to put Walker on hold here because Walker is not ready. He said he wanted to talk about the Game 4 loss. Walker in New Hampshire. I feel like I interrupted him. He was doing something there. The Game 4 loss. What else is there really to say about the Game 4 loss? Who cares? Let's read some text messages. Tell that guy Will if he doesn't like the Celtics or the Jays, he can become a Knicks fan. Yeah, that guy Will was a real hater. I agree. Arcan, the Causeway on 133 in West Gloucester is very good. I have not tried that place before. I know a lot of the restaurants, the seafood shacks for sure up in that region, but I don't know the Causeway. Texter in the 617, Arcan locally, if you don't want to go to the shore, you get very good clams at Celebrity Pizza in Watertown, ice cream and soft serve too. I used to live in Watertown. I lived in Watertown for several years, including during 2013 with the marathon and all of that, and they caught the guy. They caught him very close to my apartment, like spitting distance almost from my apartment. I drove past that house every single day, so I know Watertown very well, and I know Celebrity Pizza very well, and I love that place. Very, very good. Good recommendation, but I'm going by the water today. And that is all the time that I have. I want you all to stay tuned because Fitzy and Hart are coming up next, and then John Lyons, and then Red Sox baseball as the Sox look to take this series here against the Yankees. And that is all the time that I have. Mass has ended. Go in peace. Enjoy the rest of your Father's Day. I'll be back on Monday with Jones and Mego. We will talk to you then live from Big Night Live at the Garden as we get ready to preview Game 5, Celtics and the Mavericks. Again, enjoy the rest of your Father's Day, all you fathers out there. And to my father, I'll see you in a little bit. Goodbye, everybody. Stay tuned for Fitzy and Hart. Nice job, Nico.